Welcome everyone to Conversations with Doc Martin. This video series focuses on extraordinary people doing extraordinary things. So please don't forget to hit the subscribe button and the notifications so you don't miss out on our next guest. Today, however, our guest is Justin Patton. Justin is an international speaker and executive leadership coach who challenges leaders to think differently about how they lead and communicate. Justin is an award-winning author of 3 books, a certified professional coach, a faculty member of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and has coached thousands and thousands of individual managers from small businesses to the C-suites of Fortune 500 companies. So, Justin, welcome to you today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here with you.
Excellent. I'm thrilled to be here. We've known each other for quite a number of years, and you've been an extraordinary force in my life. You've really allowed me to understand that the only thing holding me back is myself. And that I can make magic happen if I choose to do so and get certain things out of my way. And so I'd love to kind of begin and kind of share your background, because so often people look at individuals like yourself and so many others and they say, wow, he's here. I don't know how I could get there. So I'd love for you to share kind of how this all started for you.
Yeah, you know, for me, everyone has like a core story that kind of shaped their life. And for me, that was losing my dad at 18. He had surgery. They left galls inside of him. And so he ended up contraction of a bacteria infection that spread through his whole body. And he died in my mom's arms very unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously that was so pivotal for me at 18 years old that I didn't know how to cope with that. So I just emotionally disconnected and really lived my life that way for the next 12 years. And I realized what playing small can look like. Mm-hmm. I knew what it felt like.
Sure.
I knew that I was capable of playing bigger, but I didn't know how to kind of get out of my own way. But I knew if I could find the right opportunities that I'd be able to prove myself. And in about 30, kind of had a breakthrough, kind of got pushed out of a company I loved. And that was the turning point I needed. And so from there, you know, I decided to really look at myself in a different way, get some feedback from some people that I needed to hear but wasn't comfortable to hear. And just make some different decisions, you know? And so for me, that's really my own personal kind of journey and how that all transformed. Professionally, I was a high school English teacher, got a master's in education, and then from there just got certified in coaching, studied body language from a former FBI agent, and, you know, went on to be part of the National Speakers Association and meet just in network with just some amazing people that made me better. So it's been an incredible journey. And the one thing for the people listening, I would say is I heard this guy once speak and he said, I'm not worried about getting it right, like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, because I think we all do that.
Yeah.
He goes, I'm just looking for the next right answer. And I will say in my career, I never got hung up on what does the next year look like? Or what is the next 10 years? I said, in my gut right now, like, what is the next right answer for this relationship? What's the next right answer for this job or my career? And I trusted the next right answer. And that has always served me well.
That's amazing. You know, looking for the next right answer and not being afraid to take that next step certainly holds so many people back, because so many of us get caught in the what if, you know, and what if this happens? What if that happens? And we all miss that. We're missing the moment that makes those future things happen. And those future things never happen if we don't actually take the steps today. And so, you know, as you've gone through, you know, pre-COVID, and then we'll kind of get to COVID a little bit later, because that's certainly, that's certainly relevant to talk about from a mindset perspective. And, you know, we're going to have other guests on the program, therapists and some others, to kind of talk about tools to overcome challenges that we all face. When you think about individuals that you've worked with and you think about that next right step and people getting in their own way, like when you think about people that are stuck, what comes to your mind?
Yeah, I think the biggest reason people feel stuck is that they do not give themselves permission to reimagine what life could be like. Or how people show up differently. Because
sure.
I think sometimes we just get, I don't know about the people listening, but we get so busy being busy in our jobs, as parents, we put our heads down, we're in the grind, and we're just doing the best we can, right? Yep. Based on that level of awareness that we don't know that we can experience life differently. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's until something happens or someone comes along that challenges you to say, you know, maybe there's a different way. And I think to me, that's why I love coaching. I always tell people, sure, coaching is not about changing anyone. You don't need to be changed. You don't need to be, quote, fixed.
Yes. And
it's creating the space for you to reimagine what life could be like. Absolutely. And sometimes just reimagining who you are at your best, because you lost sight of who you were at your best. You walked out of that, maybe in the busyness of life. Mm-hmm. And I think what I love about the work that I get to do is I help people step back into the truth of who they are, who mm-hmm. they've always been, but maybe just because of life, they walked away from it.
Sure. So what I'm almost hearing is that, you know, they made that decision to walk away and they're having so much trouble making the decision to step back in, to step back over that line.
And oftentimes, right, very unconsciously, they've stepped away. Mm-hmm. But when you've stepped away for so long, that becomes your normal. Like, yeah, you don't know life can be differently. Quick analogy. I remember I was traveling every week speaking, and there was in my kitchen, there's a light fixture and it has three light bulbs. Mm-hmm. One of the light bulbs was out. And I was like, I still see fine. It's good. I'm not going to worry about it. Well, you know, life kept happening and I was traveling every week. And so I just, you know, I became accustomed to it. Well, when I went to finally go change the light bulb, I realized that actually two of the three bulbs had been out. And when I had put both of those light bulbs in, it was so much brighter. And I remember going, why would I ever live my life like that?
Absolutely. But
my eyes had adjusted to that dysfunction. And our eyes adjust to the dysfunction in our marriage, to the dysfunction in the friendships, the dysfunction at work, when it just becomes the norm and you stop forgetting what it in a reimagining what it could be like. And I think that's what coaching does. And then what happens is when you step back in, you're like, why on ever would I have put up with that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What we get to do.
It's interesting. You talk about how we accommodate to things and, you know, having been a chronic pain sufferer, I understand what that is like as to live with chronic pain, and that becomes your new normal. And that's a physical pain. And so many of us don't understand that there's mental pain and anguish that we are allowing ourselves to sit in without moving forward. And I love your light bulb analogy. I think that's fantastic. I know I've told you this story. Thanks to you, I was so inspired to become a coach myself. And I remember so distinctly sitting in our program and we were talking about the whole concept of limiting beliefs. And I was thinking about something really deeply personal. And I remember sitting bolt upright in my chair thinking, who the heck ever made up that rule? Like, I was living my entire life based upon a rule and an assumption that I created in my own head.
Yeah.
And all it took was a mental shift to kind of go from one place to another. And, you know, that kind of leads me to the whole concept of trust in yourself, trust in others. And I know that that's something that you love to talk about, which is trust. And, you know, today in today's world, we've been so challenged just, you know, with COVID and politically, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. Our country, for those in the US, is incredibly polarized at this time. And so talk to us a little bit about what you've seen relative to trust within ourselves and our workplaces today.
You mean just in general?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'll say a couple things and we'll kind of lead up to that. Sure. You know, I obviously, so much of my background's around teaching about how people show up in leadership presence. Yeah. And I think there's a very clear difference between presence versus leadership presence. Mm-hmm. And it all is really about trust. We all have presence. Mm-hmm. Presence is how the way we show up makes other people feel. We all do that every day, whether the bank, grocery store, our family, we walk in the door.
Yeah.
Leadership presence is different. It's, does the way that I show up inspire confidence and trust from other people? Mm-hmm. And so we all have presence. We do not all have leadership presence. Mm-hmm. And I think what's happening, you know, with where you're going with this is, I think there are many times because of how divided we are, we show up with presence, but not leadership presence. So an example would be when that person cuts us off in the car, we get judgmental, critical. We start, I'm going to teach them a lesson. We speed up, or we honk the horn, and we yell, right? Yep. And in that moment, we stepped out of the truth of who we are. And I think even on social media, we read people's comments and they get us boogered up and we get all frustrated, right? When I'm like, why have you attached that to your identity? That comment doesn't have to do anything with you, right? You weren't in that person's thought when they wrote it. And even if they were, it's not about you. But right. We get, you know, I think so often, especially with trust, we need to be mindful of not what other people are doing, because we can't control that, but just really focusing on what we can control and how we're showing up in that moment. And does my presence inspire and instill trust and confidence from other people? And I just finally say, I think there's a, you know, it really is about self-trust, because I think you've got to really be able to trust yourself first.
Absolutely.
And then really focused on creating that trust with other people.
Absolutely.
So that's what comes up for me initially.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. I mean, I think our entire society, to a great extent, is just so stuck on coming to conclusion, coming to judgment of a situation through the framework of our own lens. Because we see the world through our lens. And certainly with social media, I was actually just reading an article this morning relative to algorithms of social media. And when it first started, and still today, there was an attempt to create these algorithms to give you more of what you want. Well, actually, from a knowledge perspective and a perspective perspective, if I can say that, it ends up almost working against you, because you're not getting any other sided opinions or other ways of looking at things. And people can get very stuck because of what they're being fed constantly 24/7. And so let's talk a little bit about...
Can I share one more thing real quick?
Yeah, of course.
I think that the reason self-trust is so important is because when you really know yourself, mm-hmm. and you trust your voice, your perspective, your presence, I think you're more open to other people's.
Totally.
And what happens is you don't attach their comments to your identity. Mm-hmm. I work with a lot of people who someone makes a comment or something is said or an action happens, yep. and they hang it on their soul and they wear it around every day and they victimize themselves over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And it kind of goes back to that rules that you were talking about, right? Is saying, mm-hmm. you know, why don't you hand that back to them? Because that was never about you.
Yep.
And let go of it so you can see yourself in a different light. And I think that's why, to me, it's so important to help people develop their own trust in themselves, to recognize that somebody in this world needs your voice and only the way that you can say it. But
yeah.
people say, you know what, I'll speak up when I'm confident. It doesn't work that way. You'll never yeah. speak up your whole life.
Exactly.
I tell people, find your voice and you will find your confidence.
Absolutely.
But it's a journey, and that journey means sometimes I'm going to get it right, sometimes I'm going to screw it up and get it wrong.
That's
but it
right.
takes all of those to really find my voice and to learn to trust myself. And you don't just get to have the good moments. You got to take all of those and say, because of all of those collective moments, I found myself.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to honor that. And I think that's really how we develop that trust in ourselves.
Absolutely. And as coaches, you know, that's part of what we do. I mean, the agenda and the goal isn't ours, it's our clients, right? And so part of that conversation is all that, okay, so if this is what you want, what do you envision are your next steps? What are you going to do about it? And well, you know, this and this. And I remember even working with you, just kind of getting challenged relative to, well, okay, well, that's a story you're making up. Mm-hmm. And so why is that a story? And then you talk through that and figure out the next steps. And so, you know, it just makes me think the book, The 15 Commitments of Conscious Leadership, where it talks about above the line and below the line. You know, are you above the line where you're open-minded and willing to hear the other side and going in, as one of my mentors once said, seek to understand, or are you going in under the line or below the line, I believe the author calls it, where you're coming in from an assumptive place and coming from your own frame of reference. You know, when I think about these concepts, I truly do believe they're very simple, but they're not necessarily easy, because we're so ingrained with our habits, like your light bulbs. It was really simple to change them, but it wasn't necessarily that easy because you let it go for so long, right? And so what can you share with our listeners about what are some of those first steps you can start to take within your mind to start breaking down those judgmental walls and those filters that cause you to look at the world in your own given way.
Yeah. I'm gonna, if I could say it in the most simple form, I think the number one thing that holds us back is ego. And I think you got to get, ego shows up in a lot of different ways.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, it's that's what pulls us out of the best version of ourselves.
Yep.
So to me, ego is always any fear-based thought that pulls us out of the truth of who we are. So two things that I teach people. One is you've got to have a clear vision for who you are at your best. Mm-hmm. Not what you think you want to be, not words that sound sexy that, oh, that's the person I hope to be in life.
Right.
But like when I really look back on my life, when I'm at my best, I'm empathetic, I'm present, I'm a good listener, and hopefully I'm inspiring, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if I really am clear with that vision, I can tell you the moments in the car or with my family or at work when I walk out of that truth. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it'll show up as not listening. Sometimes it'll show up as not being present or getting critical and judgmental or, you know, getting so heads down that I'm not realizing the impact that my presence is having on other people around me. Mm-hmm. So it shows up in different ways, but it all comes back to ego. And I always would say, we all have ego, every one of us.
Yep.
I don't even say it's about getting rid of it. I think you got to recognize that it's there and you need to know how to keep it in check.
Yeah.
And without that level of awareness, Martin, I think that what we do is we keep living our lives in that dark with, the, you know, and we justify it by saying we're doing the best we can. And I do think people are, but they're not realizing it can be different, but it's not going to be different until you keep your ego in check.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, I've talked about this on a number of our different episodes. I'd actually love to get her on one of these days. Dr. Carol Dweck out of Stanford wrote the book Mindset and talks about fixed mindset versus growth mindset. You and I have talked about that before. And just we get so fixated relative to our ego. I've actually never thought of it that way before. Because if you think about it, a fixed mindset does have a bit to do with ego, because a fixed mindset, a person will look at an individual a specific situation and say to themselves, I am a failure versus I failed, which would be growth. And how can I change and do something different to move forward? And so I never thought about that before. It's kind of an egoistic kind of thing, isn't it?
Well, I think fixed mindset is I'm right.
Yeah.
I can't, this person doesn't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know why I'm sitting here going, listening to this, you know, like this, you know, I already know all this content, right?
Yeah.
Very fixed mindset, where to your point, growth mindset is, you know what? I'm curious of why that person said it that way.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to stay open and be curious. I might not even agree, but I want to be curious about why they believe what they do. So maybe there's an opportunity for me to learn something, even if it's just their perspective. Right.
Yes.
And just, you know, it goes back. I want to say one thing. I'm going to tie this to coaching. The beautiful thing about coaching, when I said that everything that I get to do is help people reimagine who they are, is reimagining puts us back into possibility and abundance.
Totally.
And what happens is when we're stuck or we're really operating out of scarcity, fear. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, my marriage sucks. I don't know what to do about it. It can't be any better, you know, versus, well, I want you to reimagine what it was when you were in love.
Absolutely.
Let's imagine what it was that brought you together. Reimagine what you can't control your other partner, but what can you do differently to have the relationship that you say you want, right? Mm-hmm. And when all of a sudden, when you give yourself permission to reimagine, you step into this full abundance of possibilities. And I think life starts to change for you. I think you feel different about yourself. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's the beautiful part about just changing the mindset and what it allows us to do and how we see things differently.
Absolutely. And giving other people permission to be who they are.
Yeah.
One of the things you said to me once that was really quite transformative, we were talking about somebody in my life and you said, you know, Martin, what would it be like for you to consider a person did the best they could with the skills they had at the time?
Totally.
And it literally caused an explosion in my brain. And I live my life now with that construct in my head. And the example I often give to clients as well as from the podium is the whole concept of texting somebody and they don't text you back. Because gosh knows, nobody wants to talk on the phone these days. It's just crazy. I don't get it. But I'm glad you like to talk on the phone. But anyway, so So, you know, you text somebody, they don't text you back and you don't hear from them and you make up all these stories in your head and, you know, you become the victim and then you villainize them and, you know, they're jerks and everything else. And then you hear something happen, you know, gosh forbid they had an accident or something untoward happened in their life. And instantaneously your mindset is shifted to empathy and care and love instead of anger and distrust and angst. And if we can all kind of attempt to embrace that as much as we can in our daily lives, because we're all human, we're not perfect, right? If we can attempt to embrace that as much as we can, it can kind of really change the face of our lives and how we interact with this thing that we call life. So, you know, as you've had the opportunity to work with thousands and thousands of people, both individual as well as in groups, and you know, particularly, you know, group dynamics are quite interesting when you're teaching groups. And what have you observed over the years about aha moments that people kind of have within your programs? Like, what do you think tends to kind of snap people out of where they are from a mindset and filter perspective?
I think you have to, in a safe way, challenge how people see themselves.
Got it.
And so to me, it's creating the space, whether it's a question, whether mm-hmm. it's an exercise, whether it's just reimagining in a vision exercise, for them to turn the mirror on themselves in a mm-hmm. safe way, not a judgmental way.
Sure.
But to say, huh, I didn't know my relationship with my kids could maybe even be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, at work, things suck right now, right? But what do I have control over? And I wasn't even thinking that, you know, that I was getting in my own way. I was blaming everyone else. And what would be different if I would allow myself to do, you know, this next step? And yep. So that's been my experience, that if we create a really safe space for people to look at themselves differently, often they'll look at themselves, but the moment that people feel judged or they're going to be criticized, all that reflection is going to go out the window because their ego is going to creep up, which is normal for all of us.
Sure.
And we want to be right. So sure. It really, first step to me requires really creating kind of that safe space for that to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, something you said earlier that I thought was just, I want to go back to something you said was uh-huh. insightful. When you talked about, when I made that comment that everyone in life is doing the best they can based on their level of awareness.
Yeah.
I believe that. I know, and I think it's for me, this is my only perspective. I think it's the only way to forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you can honestly believe that person's actions hurt me,
yeah.
Sometimes their actions are illegal, immoral, unethical, but saying, I believe that they did the best that they could based on their baggage they were dragging around every day, based on their, you know, their stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to say, for that, I'm going to forgive you.
Yep.
And I hope somewhere in your journey, you learn the skills and get the awareness that you need to show up even better. Now, that doesn't mean I ever need to be around you again. Yeah. That doesn't mean what you did was okay, but it means I'm letting it go because you did the best you could, and I refuse to continue to make myself a victim moving mm-hmm. forward. And so when I think about just my journey and things that have happened, the way that forgiveness has really been able to come up for me is choosing to believe that. Because I do think it's a choice.
There are
people listen and say, oh, I don't think people are doing the best they can. They just suck to suck. Right? And I'm like, okay, well, that's a choice. But me believing that, going back to mindset, me believing that doesn't support my best self.
Right.
That comment thinking that everyone just sucks and they're not, you know, they're just out to get me, that doesn't serve me. And if I could say, you know what, I don't agree with what you did, it hurt me, but I forgive you because I believe you did the best you could and I wish you well.
Mm-hmm.
That better serves me and where I want to go in my life. And that's the mindset that I choose to own for my own growth.
Absolutely. No, I think that's incredibly insightful because it allows us to give ourselves the permission to move forward relative to those individuals. And that also extends to ourselves. You know, the whole concept of, oh, I made a mistake when I did X, Y, Z. There's actually, you know, for as individuals, you know, barring hurting another human being, I talk about this all the time. There is no such thing as a mistake, because if you as an individual went back to that point in time with the same knowledge, intuition, passion, and awareness, you'd make the same decision all over again. So you're looking at your life today based upon what you know today, and you didn't have that information back then. So we have to cut ourselves some slack and understand that we're all doing the best we can with the tools we have, both others as well as ourselves. Yeah. So what's in store for you in the coming future? I know I want to talk a little bit about COVID and mindset and so forth, because you are a speaker and you're an author and you're a coach. And, you know, as a professional speaker that was and will be again, a road warrior.
Well, I still am. I'm just putting it out there.
Well, I meant, you know, from an airplane perspective, you know, so that, you know, COVID changed the rules, changed the game, changed everything. And I remember talking to you in the beginnings of the pandemic, and I was actually concerned about you. I was like, how you doing, et cetera. And in pure Justin Patton fashion, we're like, oh, I'm good. I'm doing this. I'm doing this. So talk a little bit about kind of, let's peel back the curtain here. Let's talk a little bit about how you felt when this all started going down and your speaking engagements were canceled and what you were doing and how you kind of recreated yourself. Because, you know, this is a universal thing with the pandemic and having to kind of recraft our lives, both socially, professionally, et cetera. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I'm sure, like most people, when COVID first went down, I was like, okay, yeah, we just got to get through a few weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
And yes. I was like, all right, a few months. And then a few months turned to 6 months. And I'm like, okay, y'all, I don't even know how long this is going to go at this point. But I, you know, there's a couple things. I was on the road every week before COVID. So then it came to an immediate halt.
Yep.
And so I'm looking around like, okay, I'm kind of enjoying this downtime for a few weeks, right? But over time, you're like, okay, like what's going to happen to my business, my finances, all of that. And so I was in a different position. I had some long-term contracts with clients I've worked with for years.
Sure.
And it was different for me because they allowed me to continue to work with them. The work changed. So the work that we were going to do, we stopped, but we did other work where I still had an income coming in and still had those partnerships, which to me says, you know, that business, we all know this, we've heard it so much, that it's about relationships and adding value. And I am so grateful for me and my business that I still had those contacts that allowed, they didn't have to, that allowed me to continue to work with them, find ways to add value to their business. So for me, Martin, I was able to continue to work and do those things. And then I'll say, here was my aha moment. I'm sure everyone's like, we experience, you know, what is it? Zoom fatigue and everything else.
But and I got to tell you, Zoom, but you know. Yeah.
But I got to tell you, here's what was the aha for me that I didn't expect. Mm-hmm. So when I'm speaking in front of thousands of people in an auditorium or, you know, whatever it is, that there is only a certain level of interaction you can have, right? I get people on stage, I might have them turn to each other, but there's only a certain level that you can really do.
Yeah.
And when we got on Zoom, we started, I use the chat box so much. Mm-hmm. And what happened is the level of depth of the questions that people were asking mm-hmm. was so much deeper and richer than a face-to-face experience ever was going to get. Because they're not going to speak up in front of hundreds or thousands of people, mm-hmm. right? Where now they have a platform to say, can we go deeper here? Or they get really personal and ask a question because they're behind a computer screen by themselves.
Yeah.
They send it to me privately and I can share a general comment. And none of that was happening before. So I got to tell you, for me, there's been a lot of moments I've really enjoyed this experience being virtual for the level of depth and interaction that we were able to go, which does not always happen in a face-to-face version. You know, and from a coaching perspective, you know, it's obviously I still can coach people because it was always virtual.
Sure.
So that's been helpful. But it is for every person that has a business out there, it is rethinking my business is going to look different moving forward. Mm-hmm. And I can't focus on 400 things to say, what are the one or two strategic initiatives that we're going to try to really own to put ourselves in the place of most potential.
Yep.
And then when we say we're going to own those, we're going all in. And so that's what we're doing now is stepping back saying for 2021, mm-hmm. what are the one or two strategic initiatives that we think will really help us and our business grow and committing to those.
That's fantastic. I love that. Yeah, I would be remiss if we didn't bring that question into this conversation, because it's so relevant to everybody listening and everybody in the world going through what we're all going through right now. So before we conclude, one kind of final, very open question, go whichever way you want with this one. But, you know, for everybody listening, you know, what would you like to leave them with today?
Yeah. My final thought would be that you don't need to be fixed. Mm-hmm. That whatever you're experiencing out there, you don't need to change who you are. Mm-hmm. You just need to go back and remember who you are at your best and give yourself permission to live that version out every day of your life.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Well, thank you so very much for
being here. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
It's been an amazing experience as always. We're going to go ahead, put all your contact information, you know, below this video. And I want to remind everybody, don't forget to subscribe, click the notifications button. And as I'm ending all of my videos, I want everybody to remember this, you know, life speaks to you. And if you think it doesn't, you're not listening. Thanks, Justin. Take care. And we'll see everybody soon. Bye-bye.